didn't understand. I had to call and get her. Okay.
After pounding on my phone, I will call the March 16th Common Council meeting order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayor.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here. The quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Which causes me to ask both the staff and the common council members, when you sit on committees, please ask that the committees also say the Pledge of Allegiance. That seems to be hit or miss, and I would rather have it be constant.
Mayor?
Alderman Wilhelm.
Could we have a moment of silence for the year of the COVID and a moment of silence for all of those that have passed? We're at 39 right now.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Alderwoman. Next item on the agenda, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and let us know what you want to say. Anyone want to speak? Good to see you, Mr. Lucky.
Name is Jim Lucky. I live at 4925 West Rossett Avenue. And I'm here to speak in favor of item G3 on the agenda about the what I call the Marquette Avenue project. As you heard my address, that puts me right across the street from the Quick Trip around 51st and Rossett Avenue. And I generally view that as my neighborhood. Moved in there with my wife Marion in 1974, and there's been a lot of changes to that area during that time. And one thing I truly enjoy doing is walking around that neighborhood, like on 51st Street between Ross and Drexel. A number of years ago, we had some sidewalks put in that made it a lot safer. There's also sidewalks on Ross and Avenue east of my house, and behind the Pleasant View School is just a wonderful park where there is also some real nice areas to walk on the different pathways, which I do many times over the years. But what I want to talk about is the safety in between the areas that I just talked about for the children of the school at Pleasant View. I feel safe when I'm walking around generally, but I do have in my mind that it just didn't really seem safe where I sometimes see school buses running by and I see the children out off the edge there, and there just doesn't seem to be a safe environment there. I know we've been talking about this now for probably pushing about 10 years to get this done, but I think it's time, you know, to get it done so they are safe. I also look at this. I always love to see economic or development in the area here in Franklin, and I think the idea of getting these, you know, development there, the overall. I did study over this plan, and I think it is a very good plan, and it's time to get it done. And I would just like to see, you know, my neighborhood have that development. So I guess that's my comments.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkie.
Thank you.
Mr. Lewandowski, good evening.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. E2, introduction of Ms. Carrie Grievings, Director of Tourism and Engaged Franklin. Did they get married? One of the things is, it appears that we hired her as a director of tourism, but where are the six aldermen that should have approved it, and you have not, have you? Did they ask you? Did you have anything to do with it? Did you look at her resume? I don't think that happened. So why are you going to approve this thing? You got to stop this kind of monkey shine. This is ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as the front entrance to Mike Zimmerman's building, The Rock. 2.5 feet down is the sidewalk. I mean, the road. The sidewalk's up 2 feet, and it's disaster. You have to fix that. You're starting to put tourism in that building, and people see that. Just like showing them St. Martin. Why don't we show them the St. Martin area, how bad that is, instead of we don't have nothing decent. We got a quarry, everything else, and we're starting a tourism. But the issue is, you people here are not doing your job. You're being paid to protect us. You got six people here that should have stopped this, and you should have saw the resume, and you should have approved it, and you didn't. Shame on you.
Tourism Commission is an independent body as set up by the state law. The Common Council has nothing to say about it. And she's on for an introduction, not approval. And by the way, Council, she will be here a little late. She's got a job to do up until then.
Good evening. My name is Mira Kresvik. Can I pull this down to speak?
Sure.
Thank you. My name is Mira Kresvik. I reside at 8810 South 51st Street in Franklin. The agenda item that caught my attention was G4. I am not here to defend Buckthorn in any way. Common and glossy Buckthorn are already restricted at federal and state levels, and the city categorizes it as subnoxious. May I ask, what is the difference between subnoxious, restricted, and noxious? My understanding is that subnoxious and restricted are pretty much synonymous, and then noxious, there's action taken. Would it be true that moving it to a noxious weed would result in, say, if you had this on your property, 30-day requirement to eradicate the plant, or the weed commissioner would come in and do it and then charge the property owner? And another question I have is, do the same rules and expectations apply to all landowners within the city of Franklin? For example, the city of Milwaukee Nursery, Milwaukee County, or any DNR conservation easements or areas? Are private citizens and businesses held to a different standard than their own governments? Is this leading by example? We are still in the middle of a pandemic that has caused many to have economic hardship. Is now really the best time for this change, when the only notable characteristic that I can see is the immediate cost to the landowner, most of which, these are older properties that have been in existence, because it's the farm tree lines typically. And this immediately cost to the owner would include either hiring private or paying the weed commissioner to remove the buckthorn. So I was wondering, why now? And then I had some suggestions, but I'm not on the commission, so I probably should just, thank you. I was wondering if maybe in lieu of fining the people and maybe causing more division between the government and the residents, maybe a more assertive educational campaign that would not only encourage removal of buckthorn, but inform residents. The reason why buckthorn is considered threatening is because it takes over the areas and doesn't allow the natives to come through. Specifically, my understanding is that Franklin is an oak savanna, and so if you do a clear cut, then you'd be taking out the oak, the shagbark, hickory, dogwoods. What else? There's the black sand cherry or black cherries that are in there. The various other natives. That's the reason why you get rid of the buckthorn, is so that these natives can flourish. If you do a clear cut, then you've only done the buckthorn's job faster. So I was hoping, like, maybe for an educational program and maybe promoting natives that would crowd out the Buckthorn, you know, take over that area and return it back to its former glory. So if at all possible, may I ask that you would encourage a bridge to the community rather than this sort of punitive action? Something as simple as if you see it on somebody's property, put a friendly flyer on the mailbox. It doesn't even have to be something you pay for, just something that you rubber band on the flippy thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry, I don't know the technical word. But what I understand and what I'm trying this year is girdling, because I've been told that's most effective. So that's about it. Thank you.
Can I just say a word here?
Yes.
Alderman Mayor.
We'll get into this much more probably later on, and we'll hear from the experts too. But just to throw a little bit out there, this is not going to be a broad sweeping enforcement. This is it's going to have an educational component. It's going to also have a component where the Environmental Commission will work with landowners to come up with an incremental plan, which might take quite a while to do this. And we understand it's very it could be expensive. We don't want to cause the hardship, but we want to do a start here. This is not a silver bullet to just wipe out all Buckthorn by any means. And clear cutting has never been an option that's been discussed at all. It's an incremental a plan to go forward, and I don't know what that means for each individual homeowner, but it's got three key parts tonight. Number one is putting it as a noxious weed, but then number two is the educational part that you're talking about, and number three is working with the Environmental Commission to move forward, not to wipe out the entire woodlot or whatever it might be.
Let's wait on that until we get to the agenda.
But quickly, as you said, it's because of the action.
Okay. Thanks, Mira. Any other citizen wishing to speak? Give us your name and address, please.
Good evening. My name is Howard April. My last name is spelled A-P-R-I-L-L, and I live at 3772 East Denton Avenue in St. Francis. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for the time this evening. I'm here to speak very briefly about item G4 on the agenda, the proposal to list buckthorn as a noxious weed. This is a really good idea. In fact, it's a great idea, which is exactly why I'm respectfully requesting it be sent back to committee. The reason is that, I've spent a good portion of my life professionally working on removing and controlling exotic species such as buckthorn. The challenge with this is the fact that there are some landowners who are doing good jobs of being stewards of their property. However, they have literally, in some cases, hundreds, or in the case of Milwaukee County Parks, thousands of acres of buckthorn. And you can easily spend professionally $5,000 an acre to remove it. Milwaukee County Parks, for instance, could be looking at maybe even $1 million, $500,000 to address this. So why is this a good idea, but it should go back to committee? I've read the details on this, and there's the makings of a good ordinance here. The challenge is that it's pretty little light on the details. And what I mean by that is that the standards and guidelines have not been fleshed out as fully as I think they probably could be. This is a good idea. I see it's been in committee. However, in general, I think it's better to get things right than fast. And this is really close to being good. It's just that I respectfully request to go back to committee for review. Another reason, very briefly, is that, you can cut buckthorn, but the chemistry and the biochemistry of the plant means you really have to treat it with chemicals as well. So if you cut it, that's great, but it's just going to come back, and it's going to come back even stronger. So a cut without herbicide application is it's work, but it's not the most efficient work. So I really, really respectfully request, ladies and gentlemen, this is a really good idea. I just respectfully request it go back to committee so that the details can be fleshed out. And one last thing, the 5-day criteria to remove it upon notification. My understanding is that, with building code inspections, you sometimes get 30 days or 15 days is a 15-day deadline the best way to go on that. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. And bottom line, I respectfully request that item G4, this is the makings of a good ordinance. I just requested to go back to committee to flesh out some of the details to prevent potential issues with homeowners and property owners down the road. And thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. April. Welcome
Mr. Mayor, if I could just address that real briefly. I know we're going to talk more in depth later, but I would invite anyone to the Environmental Commission meetings because we have discussed this in depth, and you're exactly right. It needs a strong, and you were both right, it needs a strong educational point, and it needs an incremental thing, and part of the motion tonight is going to be to send it to the city attorney to come up with that process where they can address the Environmental Commission, and we can come up with a plan going forward. It's the same as the other young lady was mentioning before. It's the educational point, and it's incremental, not to wipe out the entire county park system or anything like that. And we also understand about cutting it. It comes back. We have taken the time to be as educated as we can be, and I do understand your concerns. I think we all do. But you're exactly right.
Okay,
but I think
you.
We're closer now than we've ever been. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? If no one else rise, I'll close the citizen comment period. We move on to item C, approval of the meeting minutes of the regular common council meeting of March 2nd. Any additions or corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
Move approval of the minutes.
Second. Motion by Hanneman, seconded by Barber. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to, we have no hearings. Move on to organizational business appointment to the Waste Facilities Monitoring Committee, Belinda Costa. Is there any request for separate action? So I request approval of appointment of Belinda Kostich and Sudarshan Sharma to the Waste Facilities Monitoring Committee.
I move the appointments.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye. Six ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Motion carries. They are appointed. As for E2, Ms. Grieving will be here, but she's coming from. Oh, you're here? Carrie, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you behind your mask. Please come on forward.
Also, my fancy clothes, and I probably threw you off too.
I wasn't going to tell them what you were doing. You can sit at the table if you'd like.
You can sit down.
Yeah. We need to please.
All right.
It's yours.
Hi. I just wanted to thank Mayor Olson first for inviting me to the Common Council meeting tonight. Sorry about the running in late. I was teaching classes at Innovative Health and Fitness, which is my side gig. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss another month, though, before I get in front of all of you. I know I've met some of you face-to-face or Zoom-to-Zoom or whatever you want to call it. And I also want to extend the invitation that if you have any interest in talking tourism with me, I am more than willing and happy to do that.
Carrie, take your mask off so we can... There we go.
Oh, it's also nice after two classes.
Now, just so I don't get all kinds of criticism off of Facebook, Carrie is socially distant from our director of administration and everybody else in the room, so there's little risk of COVID. Carrie, sorry.
No problem. So really, I don't need to take up a ton of your time. I'm very excited to be here. I have 5 years experience doing the same essential tourism job in Racine County. It's a pleasure to only have one city to worry about now instead of an entire county. And again, I tell people all the time that there are things to do in Franklin, and there are fun things to do, and even though you live here, you kind of take them for granted. So it's my job to, it's twofold. My job is to bring in visitors and help them stay overnight and realize what a fun place this is and how wonderfully located it is, and then also support residents. There is nothing worse to me than having residents that don't want to see their city flourish. So it's you can't just focus on one, and that is my goal going forward. My office right now is located at Rock Ventures. I am in and out there. I'm also here. I've been working with Callie to get caught up on things. And
that's really kind of where we stand. I've been doing this for 3 weeks, and it's been a whirlwind. Conversations, phone calls, Zoom.
Well, welcome, Carrie. Just again for the record, Carrie works and is being paid by the Tourism Commission, which is an independent body from this Common Council. Although the members are appointed by me and confirmed by the Common Council, they are an independent organization with their own budget, not property tax dollars.
Correct.
They're all derived from the hotel motel room tax, which is the sole funding of that operation. And Carrie works for them. And it's a courtesy for her to be here and talking to us, but Carrie wants to work with us, so as a part of us rather than being separate. So
yes,
questions
absolutely.
For Carrie? Anybody? Just welcome.
Just the one.
What color are you? You're white. Okay. Alderman Barber.
Could you just briefly define the mission for everybody of what Engage is all about and what it's going to be doing?
Engage Franklin. I should also clarify, too, that at this moment in time, Engage Franklin does not exist. It is currently, I filled out the paperwork to get it recognized by the government as a 501c6. You need to be able to have that accreditation to participate in any of the tourism entities in Wisconsin and actually nationwide. So until that gets settled, we are just an idea. I am just an idea. And the mission will be to attract visitors to Franklin, whether through events or, public, like education. Events is a very broad word, so that kind of includes all things that someone could attend, whether it's at the Rock or at a Milwaukee sports complex, parks, all of those places, the bike trails, those kinds of things, to attract visitors here to stay overnight, spend money, and support the city.
Anybody else? Okay, thanks, Carrie. All appreciate right. it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good meeting.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to agenda items. G1, a resolution authorizing the installation of a fence within a 10-foot water main easement.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk. I will point out that in the past this was done by staff, and we realized that that's not an appropriate avenue for that. And this will be one of the items that we're going to propose to you to fix in the UDO, where this is a staff activity, not necessarily coming before the council. There was an item, a couple of emails. The applicant wished that her prior permit, she's replacing a fence, be part of the record. It's included with the packet, so as far as I'm concerned, that's good.
That's G2.
That's the next one.
G2.
Oh, okay. G2. Oh, okay, we got two of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Yeah.
G2 is authorization to place
it. We didn't vote on Mike.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Oh, we did. Mm-hmm. Unanimous.
Mm-hmm. I heard the first one.
Before I called on the clerk. Mm-hmm. Are you going to start growling? G2 is a resolution authorizing installation of a fence within a 10-foot drainage easement, lot 46, plat of outlots 1 in Tumble Creek Park.
I make the motion with the technical correction of inserting the 1993 permit.
Second.
As requested by the applicant.
Discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Move on to G3. A resolution conditionally approving preliminary plat for Pleasant View Reserve subdivision, and there are some things we need to work out. Mr. Eddie, planning manager, and the applicant is here, Matt Cudney from Viridian Homes. Mr. Eddie.
With me also is Marion X, who is the planning staffer on this project. Planning Commission met and discussed this at our last meeting on the 4th, and talked about a few changes. A few changes were brought up and discussed with the proposed resolution, which is in your packet. Engineering department, I'll get to the first one. Engineering department requested rewording of condition number 13 to include text requiring compliance with Wisconsin chapter 236 generally. And the city attorney indicated that under condition number 4 would basically render that addition moot because it would generally apply anyway. So the planning commission elected to not make that change. The condition number 9, which is the second part, which is something that was brought up by the applicant. This is a recommendation that we've made relatively consistently over the last maybe year or so, although it has not always been consistent, to include all wetland setbacks in the conservation easement, not just the wetland buffer, but also extending out to the setback. For those of you who are unaware, the wetland buffer is a line that's roughly 30 feet out from the edge of the delineated wetland. The wetland setback goes out an additional 20 feet for a 50-foot distance from the wetland. The reason why we do this is primarily for ease of implementation for staff. The wetland buffer is an area that you can't do anything in. Wetland setback is something where you can't put a building, but you can do grading, planting grass, whatever. You just can't put a building in it. The reason why we include it in the conservation easement is just so that it makes it easier for people to identify it as a no-go zone for building. And then we give them backup on what they can do within that first 20 feet relative to wetlands. The applicant has indicated that he would rather not do that. He would rather just have the easement go out to the wetland buffer and stop. I should note that I actually went back through and looked at the plat. This condition would apply to 5 lots and approximately 11,480 square feet. Staff's recommendation is consistent with what we've been doing since my current staff has been on board. The applicant has noted that we're not entirely consistent, and it's true. I did ask my predecessor, and he said that we weren't entirely consistent in doing this, which is sort of a problem from my perspective. But the other piece is that he noted clearly that the development to the south, which is Pleasant View Estates, I think, they don't have it included in their conservation easement. As far as I know, we don't have a conservation easement down there, which is another problem. That probably occurred because at the time that Pleasant View Estates was going in or being developed, my predecessor was down to no staff. So probably some things got dropped. He went an entire summer with nobody helping him. So it's sort of a problem when you have nobody to help you. It's also interesting to note, however, and I don't know how legal this is, and I suppose that's something for Jesse to think about. Pardon me. The Pleasant View Estates plat actually shows the wetland buffer and says that's, or the wetland setback, and actually says that's part of the conservation easement. So it's on the plat. It's just not in a conservation easement itself. But it's actually shown on the plat. But it's also a reminder that one of the lots in that development, because they doesn't have that easement shown all the way out to the end of the setback, they're violating the setback because they put a driveway in it, which is not permitted. That lot has other problems, but, I mean, that's one clear problem with not putting the setback in the conservation easement. It may not matter in this case. I will tell you that. Speaking strictly from myself and my professional opinion, it may not matter because all of the conservation easement area that's on those 5 lots is at the extreme rear end of the back lot. It's near the rear lot lines in all 5 cases. So the chances of them actually putting a building out there, probably nothing. The applicant has stated in his rebuttals to staff that the covenants or restrictions would prevent them from putting up accessory structures. And that may be true, We don't typically get governance restrictions, so they're not subject to enforcement by city staff. And in any case, a future homeowners association could decide to change the governance restrictions at any time without telling anybody except the association. So it's sort of up to them as to how that's enforced. Nevertheless, it may not really matter. Or you could choose to say to them, okay, just take the setback out of the lots, which of course would impact the lot coverage. The other piece that's actually more important to this is that city engineering staff has actually sent out a letter to the applicant today regarding some of the comments about stormwater management, and they're going to have other problems with their stormwater plan. Engineering has actually recommended that they make it bigger. The reason why is because their stormwater plan, I think, and I don't quote me on this, I think it's based on a relative impervious coverage of 25%. Now, if you remember what I talked about last time, that we need to deal with that as an enforcement tool in the UDO generally, 25% is fine, except that the building coverage in the R6 district is also 25%, which means that if they put up the pavement and the parking and the patio, they could max out their impervious coverage, and yet they'd still be under the building coverage limit, which is kind of a problem, because if they want to come in, they theoretically could come in and get a building permit to put in a building, but then they'd have to deal with stormwater on each individual lot in addition to what's already included in the development. So that letter went out today. So at some point down the road, the applicant's going to have to address that comment to satisfy the city engineering department. That being said, it's entirely up to the council as to whether or not you want to include the wetland setback in the conservation easement going forward.
Push your button. Push your button, Kristen. Yep. Push your.
It's off.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm.
Okay. Well, I'm a little surprised to hear that the Evergreen doesn't have a conservation easement, because there are signs up there, so I don't know.
Yeah,
why those are up there.
Yeah, we had, they actually were required to put in four signs. They put one on each of the two lots that border that wetland area. I actually have seen the signs. The approval included that requirement, so they did put that in as part of one of the resolution conditions of approval.
But we didn't record a conservation easement?
Apparently it got missed somewhere, or missed or dropped or something. I'm not sure. We don't ourselves have a copy of any recorded conservation easement down there.
Well, we need to apparently follow up on that, because that's a huge floodplain over there, and that's going to be a big problem. But regardless of that, this development has had two previous preliminary plans. And I don't know how it was approved last time, but this wasn't a real issue the previous time. And especially my concern is the two previous preliminary plans have got approved with whatever stormwater and the design that was there. And the council may not be aware of this, because when this item was on the council agenda for this agreement that the developer had with the city for Market Avenue, the wrong agreement got into the council packet, so you all aren't aware that he has a deadline to meet or he's going to get stuck with some costs. So ask that deadline be extended, because there's some new things coming up that apparently never came up with the previous developers, and those two preliminary plats were approved by this council already, and he's doing the same thing that they did, a preliminary plat. He's just taking over both of them and doing one phase at a time, so it seems odd that he should be held up for those issues. So that's a big concern. As far as the conservation easements, I guess I'd like to know exactly which lots they are. If they're all on the end of the 49th court, I don't think I have too much of a problem, but I don't. Is there a way to point out where each one of those are?
The easements would be included, or the easement, if you included the wetland setback, would include lots 26 and then 32 through 35.
Do you have a layout of that?
That would be... I think it's...
I meant up on the screen.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Because I do have some people in the audience here, so...
Yeah.
So could you Run off the numbers again.
Lot 26, which fronts onto Marquette Avenue, and then lots 32 through 35, which is on 49th Court.
Okay.
It's at the end.
I don't have as much of a problem with the 39th Court ones because there'll be a conservation easement with a 30-foot buffer on the wetland, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then the one on 26, it's really hard to see which lot that would be.
It's the... it's the one right next to the school property, right on Marquette.
Okay.
It's right where the road curves.
Yeah, I guess that one's a little close to the tree line. And I don't know if the setback would include that tree line buffer between the school or not, but some changes are going to have to be made to accommodate putting the sidewalk over there and hooking up the sidewalk where the fire hydrant, and you're going to have to work with the school on that anyway. So I guess I don't have a real big problem with that one either. I do think that it's really important that the 30-foot, I guess I want to make this clear to everybody. There's the wetland area, there's the delineation line, then from the delineation line of the actual wetland, 30 feet out of that is the undisturbed natural buffer, and what he's asking for is the extra 20 feet that we allow to grade and plant and grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the conservation easement only to include the natural undisturbed buffer and not the the area that is allowed to be graded. So, it doesn't serve a whole lot of extra buffer except, because you're not going to be able to keep people from putting their lawn chemicals in that area anyway.
Before Mr. Cudney gets up there, I would prefer us to put this to bed this evening rather than bringing stuff back and reopening things. So if there's some, and I'm looking at you, Alderman Wilhelm, if there's some way we can get this done, we should. Mr. Cudney, your name and address, please.
Sure. Matt Cudney. Give you the work address is N60W21555, Legacy Trail, Menominee Falls. And just to clarify a couple of things, the conservation easement that is being referenced as a separate conservation easement does preclude us from doing certain things in the lot, the grading and then the planting of a lawn. And that, if you look in your packet, it is shown there of things that are prohibited in the conservation easement.
Mm-hmm.
And so that your UDO would allow us to develop that. And my concern is really just I want to be able to develop the lot itself. I think a compromise, and also to the point of Marion and Mr. Eddy, there, the area that would be extended into the lot is actually in a building setback line, so there would be no buildings allowed there anyway, regardless of whether or not we have issues in our CCRs that prevent buildings from going in there. So it's included in that. I'm fine with having everything in a conservation easement except for with that little part that's in the lot. So if there's part of that 30 feet and if there's all of that 30 feet that is included that's not in that lot, I'm okay with having all of that in a conservation easement. I'm only asking for that portion of the setback area not be included, that's in the lot, not be included in the conservation easement. Everything else could be in the conservation easement, just not that area of the lot because it won't let me develop the lot. Your UDO code would allow it, but this conservation easement itself would not allow it.
Okay. Would a good compromise be changing the conservation easement language to say that there is a clear definition between the 30-foot buffer and the 20-foot setback so you could allow to do that? Because then there wouldn't be a problem.
You could change some of the language in the conservation easement if that would, but I think the language in the conservation easement actually is good in terms of what you're trying to do with it. And I'm just suggesting, unless you want to carve out those specific lots, to say those specific lots are allowed to have grading and the plantings that is other than the wetland planting.
Okay, so for number nine, I'm just going to let you work that out with the planning manager, can come up with something that is doable. So we'll do that. We'll do number nine with the technical corrections. Is there any other issues you have?
I had two other. Sure.
The city attorney.
What Alderwoman Wilhelm just said is exactly what I said at the plan commission meeting. Why not put a provision in there that simply addresses the setback area pursuant to the Unified Development Ordinance requirements? And I may have mentioned at the plan commission meeting, never heard of the issue, and I do know that the conservation easements under the UDO started in 2003. So planning department always prepared them. I would just review them to comply with the standard form, and I would say 90-some percent of probably the hundreds of them that were entered into through the years did not include any change from the standard form. But it's real simple to put in a provision there that the setback area is treated differently, and here's how.
So it will reflect what's in the ordinance.
Push your button, Kristen.
Yeah.
Kristen, put.
Just to repeat that.
Hold on. You got to push it. Try it again. Technical issues. We still have software issues with this.
There it goes. Just repeat that the language would then reflect what's in the ordinance for the 20-foot setback versus the full conservation easement buffer. So that will be number nine. So what were the other concerns?
I only had two other minor comments, and one was on condition number 17. It references providing the developer dedicating additional right-of-way on the south part of Marquette Avenue. And as we discussed at the plan commission meeting, the sidewalk and everything else with the Marquette Avenue improvements from 49th Street to the school can be incorporated in the right-of-way that is being given, even though we are going to be protecting the trees on the north side as well. So additional right-of-way does not need to be dedicated, so I would just request that the little section saying including right-of-way dedication be removed. This is a leftover from the previous approval or recommendations from before. When we had
what condition is that?
17. And then if you remember, we had talked with Mr. Morrow, and he did also concur with that we were able to put all of the improvements, including the sidewalk on the south side of the street that will connect to the school, in the right-of-way. And then
Before we leave that one, the problem I had with that was the existing right-of-way actually includes the tree line. So in the future, if somebody decides to do that road, then the neighbor's tree line would come down.
Right.
And I can't get any guarantee from anyone that they wouldn't do that. And that's why I really want the 6 feet on that south side of the road.
If you do 6 feet, then you ship the road 6 feet. And then that intersection is not going to align properly. And unless you're having the city give away that 6 feet of right-of-way on the north side, the right-of-way is already given. If the trees are in the right-of-way, anything can happen in those trees. If the city can stop it, that's the only way that happens, if the city is the one who stops it.
Yeah, well, that hasn't been what I can get a guarantee on for.
I can just tell you that the plans that we have do not show a sidewalk on the north side of the street. And the trees are being preserved, and we're doing the sidewalk on the south side of the street.
So to clarify for the neighbors that have wanted this tree line buffer from the new development, you're saying on the record that you can fit the road and the sidewalk in the right-of-way that's existing without impacting the current tree line or beyond the road right away on the north where it is right now?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yep.
So there may be
some grading in the area. The road itself is going to be a little bit further north than where it is existing, but we should be able to get that and the ditch that's there without impacting those trees. There may be a couple basswoods on the far east side that may be impacted because of the curve of the road, but
I understand that. From your point of view, the city's point of view in the future, there's still not going to be any guarantee.
Right.
And,
right.
I will compromise on that issue, although it's been a pretty hard one for me on that. So, okay, what's the other one?
The last one is number 18, and this also goes back to some things that were referenced in the initial report, talking about different specific lots and whether or not they meet proper depth requirements. If you notice, all of those lots are corner lots, and so if you look at it from a certain direction, they meet the requirements. If you look at it from the other direction, they don't meet the requirements. So my point on lot number two, although it will be facing 51st Street, we agree with there would be no access off of 51st. We would have the access off of Marquette. And so all of the other ones that are referenced by engineering in the previous write-up are all corner lots that basically, if you look at it from where they're facing one road, they meet the requirements. If you look at it from another road, they don't meet the requirements. So I would request that number 18 either be removed or revised to state that the front of the house will be on 51st Street, but there will be no access off of 51st Street. It would be off of Marquette.
Okay, and you do understand that we had said that if you have access off of Marquette, you could be special assessed for any accesses off of Marquette. That was something you might get hit up with if you do that, just so you're aware of that.
Unless
I don't want that to be a surprise.
Unless the council wants to give us access off of 51st Street, there are two lots on the south that have access off of 51st Street.
Right, which was part of why there was the special assessment for $86,000, and then we said any additional lots that might end up, you might get special assessed for. I just don't want you to be caught on that. So you're okay with that?
Yeah, as long as I'm not going to be specially assessed for a significant fortune there.
Okay. I'm fine with that language as well.
Okay. Yep. The instructions from Plan Commission were to refer this to staff, get it worked out, and come with a complete package to the Common Council. Let's all agree we're not going to do this again. We're not going to negotiate in front of the council or anybody else. We're going to come with a package. If it's not ready for the council agenda, I'm going to take it off. We're not going to do this again.
For the record, I did reach out to staff.
I know.
Yes, and I did as well.
I know, but we're not going to do this again.
So, I thought it was really important to move this forward because they do have that deadline.
I agree with you, Alderman. So let's figure this out now. Which, Mr. Eddy, which conditions now need to be changed and give us specific language?
Okay, number 9. Let's say we're going to adjust. We'll keep the first statement, but we'll say that the setbacks and buffers as relates to lots 26, 32, 33, 34, 35 will be adjusted to reflect UDO requirements for or permissions for development of wetland setbacks. We'll include that language in there. And then condition of approval number 17. I think the language you're referring to is right after the words Marquette Avenue in the third line.
Correct.
Strike that clause in there, which says, starts with including right-of-way dedication along the south side of Marquette Avenue, comma. Just strike that whole clause. And then number 18, we'll adjust that to say applicant shall revise lot 2 to reflect that access will be from Marquette Avenue. Does that work?
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm, do you have a motion?
Motion to approve the resolution conditionally approving the preliminary plat for Pleasant View Reserve subdivision at South 49th Street, South 49th, two different addresses, Verdian Homes, LLC, the applicant, with technical corrections as discussed.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank
Matt,
you
can
much.
We get an update on Marquette and 51st Street before your before that expires?
Sure.
That's not on the agenda.
No, I didn't mean now. He thought I meant now. I just meant in the future.
Yep.
Bring it in so we're all
okay.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the fun agenda item G4, Environmental Commission recommendation to add buckthorn as a noxious weed. Mr. Riha or Alderman Mayer, or who's doing this? Ms. X? Let's do Ms. X here.
I would be happy to, but I think Marion is probably better.
Thank you. And the City Forester, I'm Associate Planner X, and the City Forester, Tom Ria, is also here.
Yes,
yeah. And he has the expertise when it comes to the actual plants. So that's very important. This item was referred to the Environmental Commission. They made a request to the Common Council that the council take up an issue related to buckthorn and adding it to the list of noxious weeds, which then would create a requirement that the plant be removed from people's properties. That request was referred back to the commission so that they could craft a policy that would be appropriate and not impose restrictions on the public and private property. I'm sorry. Onerous restrictions on public and private property. So some key findings are that this buckthorn is listed by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources as a restrictive invasive species. In our own ordinances, it's a subnoxious weed. So Tom can speak more fluently on the difference between those two things, but this reclassification would require its removal. It's also important to note that it is difficult to remove and has an extended growth cycle. So if you are required to remove it, it will need to then be removed again before that removal is complete. And so that creates some complications in terms of how to do that. So a member of the public noted the importance of education around this, and that is a key recommendation of the Environmental Commission. So they're returning this item to you with the recommendation that it still be reclassified as a noxious weed, but with some additional recommendations. So one is this public education component. The commission has developed some materials with the City Forester that will be offered on the website for the Environmental Commission. And through a few other forums, they host events throughout the year, and they want to make sure that they're offering a lot of information to people before this really becomes in effect so that people understand what the requirement will be. They're also recommending an additional change to the municipal code to allow for a review process. So that request would affect the municipal code section. Typically, when a complaint is made for noxious weeds, it's then referred to the weed commissioner, who's appointed by, who's an appointee of the city, and then the removal process has to go forward. But there's an appeals process where it is possible to ask that the alderperson of the district intervene to allow for more time and that kind of thing. The Environmental Commission would like to, in the case of specifically the buckthorn species that will be reclassified, create a removal plan. So part of this education piece is that this be referred back to commission so that we can develop standards for that, which was the suggestion of quite a few people, and a good one, so that some standards can be developed so that there's a clear path that's recommended for removal, and that it's clear that as long as someone is proactively addressing it, that there won't be punitive measures. And then the reclassification piece. I will also note the director of Milwaukee County Parks reached out today to express concerns that this is going to impact a significant amount of county land and public lands as well. So so this item is before you now. Tom is the expert on all things buckthorn and trees and invasive species. So if you have technical questions, I refer you to him. So.
Mr. Riojo is about to speak as our city forester, and he does an excellent job.
Thank you.
He's been working on a tree in my right-of-way for 20 years now, and I wish he had more magic in his bag of tricks. But anyway, Tom, give us the definition of noxious or subnoxious.
Okay, so noxious weed is prohibited. We can take action against it as far as using the weed commissioner to cut it and remove it. The subnoxious weeds, they're just listed as that. We don't really have any enforcement that we can do on them. With the buckthorn, the biggest reason we like to put some teeth to it is because even you've probably taken the calls from residents when we're out trimming the rows and cutting back buckthorn or like the bike path 116th Street. It draws a lot of attention, and we really can't do a whole lot about it besides saying it's obnoxious, you know, it's obnoxious weed right now. This gives us a little bit more teeth to say, you know, no, this is actually coming out. This is the reason why it's restricted, it's prohibited. That's kind of the basis behind it. I guess I just want to get a little bit of my background. There's some new faces here. I'm the city forester, as the mayor mentioned. I'm a graduate from UW-Stevens Point in urban forestry and forest management. I have a minor in geographical information systems. And I also have two international certifications. One is a certified arborist, and the other is a municipal specialist. So I went to the city for 10 years now. I went through, I don't know what to ask for with everyone here, and it devastated 30% of our urban tree population, just our street trees alone. So it's, invasive species is a very big concern. It's not just Buckthorn, there's also quite a few other ones out there. And I think this is a good step in the right direction to kind of get some control on these invasives and kind of come up with some enforcement ideas and plans. Alderman Mayor and the Environmental Commission and myself we've discussed quite a bit some options as far as enforcement and ideas, how to get education information out to the public, as well as trying to work with homeowners, not just saying you have 5 days to get this cut or knocking on your door with a big brush mower and it's going to come through and wipe everything out. So I guess I'm just looking for a little direction from the council, because my position is in the Department of Public Works, and some of you may know I still haul snow, and there's other job duties that I do as well as just, you know, forester, and this would put a lot of extra work in our department, and I think Glenn and Kevin would like to kind of keep that as an idea as well, that this could potentially bring a lot of extra work on our staff that we don't really have the manpower to deal with. So as far as having the weed commissioner handle all the complaints, or just, I guess we just kind of need some guidance and direction as far as how that those proceedings would be going.
Well, I'll talk about that in a minute. Alderman Mayor.
A couple of things. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things. When this came to us before, we all believed it would overwhelm the Department of Public Works, probably Tom included. We took it back to the Environmental Commission. We hashed things out. We worked on this over and over. And it's key what Tom said tonight. He thinks this is a workable solution. And we have to remember that there's three components to this. It's not like cottonwoods where a tree is identified and a complaint comes in and the homeowner has to remove it. No questions asked. We've all received those kind of calls talking about their beautiful cottonwood tree, and they've got to spend several thousand dollars to remove it. There's nothing we can do in that. This is not like that. Part of this is to send it back to the city attorney to rework an ordinance for it so that they can appeal to the Environmental Commission so that we can get steps going forward. We can take incremental steps. This isn't just wipe out all of the buckthorn. If we tried to do that, there's no way we could possibly do that, and it would cost millions of dollars. But if we don't start taking steps, we'll never get anywhere, and it is an invasive species, and it's all that we will have in our woodlands. Even on those woodlands where a developer removes buckthorn and plants native species, within a few years, if nothing is done, the buckthorn takes over again. So this is just a step to hopefully work in small steps to get it under control in the future. And as we said, part of this is educational. Part of it is the enforcement aspects, having the city attorney rework it so they can come back and come up with a plan, a reasonable plan, with the Environmental Commission. And that reasonable plan is going to be different for every homeowner. Many homeowners won't be able to just spend thousands of dollars every year to bring this under control. We're only looking for small steps, for small reasonable steps to do that. Marion, I'm curious, what did you tell the director of parks or whoever that was today? What was your response?
I didn't speak to him directly. Unfortunately, we weren't able to connect, but he left a voicemail, so.
Okay.
Alderwoman Hanman.
Thank you, Mayor. My backyard backs up to Franklin Woods. I know I hate buckthorn. And I can very well appreciate the intent of this ordinance and wanting to be rid of this invasive species. I feel a little bit that we're putting the cart before the horse by changing the designation to noxious weed before we have the plan in place. I feel a little bit, for my neighborhood, this is the shot fired across the bow of the Great Buckthorn Wars. And I worry that by changing the designation now, before we have the plan and education in place, we are going to have a situation, and this is common in our community, unfortunately, where we have a lot of punitive complaints against neighbors. And this plan, as I'm reading it, leaves the mediation to the alderman. I am not a buckthorn expert by any stretch of the imagination, other than I can really identify it, and I know it's really hard to get rid of. I want to be rid of it. I fully support the eradication or putting together the plan, educating the public. I would support that in any way I can within my own district. But I also feel that we can't expect our residents to do something that we are not prepared to do on our own property as a city. It's a little muddy in that regard. So I would support everything up to that point of making the final designation at this point in time.
Mr. Mayor, just one clarification. It would not be to the alderman. That's one of the things that's in the write-up that would change. It would be the Environmental Commission and the city forester that would make the declaration, not the alderman. And you're right. We're not all experts on buckthorn.
But I do believe it will be overwhelming for those groups.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
The council action does specifically call out an alderman. Alderman Nelson.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And full disclosure, I've been with Milwaukee County over 26 and a half years. Another part that Ms. Mira brought up is I also live in an established area, which is an older area. We've got 2+ acre lots each. The ironic thing is before I saw this on Friday when I picked up my packet, is the week prior when it was so nice out, I had an organization come in and do a big clear out of my back area. And it was loaded with buckthorn, okay? I use the scorched earth theory and get rid of everything and didn't think about the cherries and other things that may have been back there. But I have a couple concerns here. Number one is obviously the punitive issue but I'm gonna start with the municipality. You've got Milwaukee County, it's got, 13% of the city of Franklin's land? It's huge. And that is an absolute ridiculous thing to think that they would be responsible for cleaning up their buckthorn. Now, do we have to have a path to do something about it? Sure. But punitive damages? No. Same thing with our own city. So, and our own right-of-ways and our own park spaces. Are we now going to take on that added responsibility financially? I hope not. And I don't think I could support that because, again, that's going to be an insane amount of money. Do we have a problem? Yes. I agree with Alderman Mayer, Alderwoman Hanneman. There's a problem. We've identified it. We have to come to a reasonable solution and conclusion, which has to incorporate, for my situation, again, I'll bring it up. I've got one neighbor on my one side, and I've got the youngest house of about 70 years old. They're older houses with 2-3 acre lots. It's loaded because my guy that came in there, I'm not going to rat them out, but they do need to address it because it's just going to come back on my side. So this is going to be this back and forth, which is going to have crazy consequences, retaliation. We're going to have all sorts of nuts going crazy out there with this stuff. And I do think that I would like to see something come back with more of a plan. But again, to use Alderwoman Sherry Hanneman's analogy, is the cart before the horse. I believe we do have to kind of put forth some sort of way in which to look at it. I did definitely appreciate Mr. April's comments, very knowledgeable. Mira's comments, very knowledgeable. Thank you for coming in here and giving that perspective, because I learned a lot in the last 2 weeks about this Buckthorn stuff, including my pocketbook, which was a small portion, and I couldn't believe the steps to take. I'm thinking, you know, I couldn't believe how much is involved in this. And to keep, you got to do it annually, and you got to put, you cut it off, and you got to put some application on it. My head's about to explode. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And now we're going to do this citywide? I yield.
Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Mayor, and then let's.
Does anybody here think that all of the cottonwood around the city has been removed? Does anybody here think that all of the burdock has been removed? Does anybody here think that all of the creeping Charlie around the city has been removed? All of those are noxious weeds. We're not going to get every buckthorn everywhere. We're not going to rat out neighbors. I'm sure somebody will try to do that. But that's exactly when the Environmental Commission can step in with the forester and say, it's come to our attention. This is a reasonable step that you can take to start removing this. Yeah, if you cut it down, it's going to come back the next year, but at least you're cutting it down. At least you're making some effort in trying to do this. If we don't do this now, then we're giving up, and it's going to take over. It's going to be worse. It's sure not going to get better on its own. This is not going after every homeowner, every property owner, and making them remove everything all at once. It's just looking for reasonable steps, and it's looking for the Environmental Commission to be the ones to hear the plan, to go forward and agree to the plan along with Tom, the city forester. It's not up to the aldermen, and it's the key piece is educational as well. That's it.
I want to support this because I understand the loss of color from our native understory shrubs and that, and what this does to the ecosystem. However, I do have I would like to see it flushed out. I would like to see the plan. What I'm concerned the most about is complaint-based. I don't want it to be complaint-based, because then you could have a neighbor complaining, like we have with our current ordinance. They complain that somebody didn't cut their 18-inch tall weeds, and then, you know, you can go out and find them. And if you have a neighbor who just, oh, we're going to complain about this particular person until they cut everything down, I mean, you could spend $200,000 or something ridiculous to please your neighbor. But I think I'd like to see this be available for the Environmental Commission, do an application to the Environmental Commission for assistance, for identification, and be available, you know, as phone calls come in. Most people want to do the right thing. And I think with the education and maybe an application to the Environmental Commission, you know, here's our property, we are a willing property owner, can you help us? How do we do it? What products do we use? What's the plan? Maybe start with that first, before we go into the more enforcement type thing, which I don't think is what there's really being planned here. I think there's just some steps, and that would be a good step. I don't think that most people understand the difference between the noxious and some noxious. We understand. You as a forester understand that there's more teeth in the other one. I think if you just tell people it's obnoxious and when you're taking stuff out, it's going to have probably just as much weight as the noxious portion of it. But so I'd be fine with moving it over from the subnoxious to the noxious with proper guidelines for those particular glossy and common buckthorn species. Thank you.
Alderman Dandry, and then let's...
Just real quick, I'm confused. Just listening to the discussion here, they're asking us to give them authorization to label this as a noxious weed, okay, a noxious weed, but then they want to take all control of it and have the council do nothing after this point. They have no plan. We might do this. We may do this. We're going to be all wishy-washy. We heard that the recommendation is we've got this good start of an ordinance, but it's not quite there. So we don't. We want them to possibly massage the ordinance. We won't have any idea because we're going to be out of the loop. I think the best recommendation here is table this, put it back onto the Environment Commission to put together the plan. Let us know what the plan is, and then after the plan, go for it. Okay, but at least we have our final say on it. That's my opinion.
Mr. Mayor, one last comment. If I could ask the city attorney what his proposal is, because it was my understanding that this is the way he wanted us to proceed to get it to this point and then work on the ordinance from here on out. He wanted direction on that. What is your recommendation for proceeding now?
My response to staff was not that it was okay to amend the ordinance in conjunction with still working on a plan. My communication and my understanding was I didn't have to come up with an ordinance redraft before this meeting because it was still going to be reviewed by the Environmental Commission. And my thoughts when I received the agenda packet with the final draft of this particular item was, why would you amend the ordinance just to change a category if you don't have a plan on how to process the subject matter? And Marion's nodding her head yes, so I'm thinking.
Mayor, I'm going to make a motion here.
One second, I'll get to you. I got to look at it from my job, which is to work with staff to get these things implemented and enforced. This will be a nightmare. Tom doesn't have the time. Our weed commissioner doesn't have the skill, although he could probably acquire it, but he won't have the time. I agree with everybody here, whether we think so or not, this will be one of the biggest controversies in the city because everybody's going to rat out their neighbor because it's going to be back and forth, entire city. And we just, to have the Environmental Commission hear appeals, they don't have enough time in the day. This is, and you may want to argue with me, but I've been doing this a long time. That's the way it's going to be. So.
Mayor, in the essence of not arguing, Mayor, what do you suggest as the solution going forward?
You guys like to jump me here. I'm about to suggest some items for Alderman Wilhelm and or you to make a motion. I get a right to speak too, don't I? So let me finish. So I would like to see this go back to the Environmental Commission for the education part of it, to develop articles for the newsletter and the website, and whatever other activities they want to participate in, and we'll get those up right away. I think it's fair to put on there that the city's considering a change in the ordinance. I think that's fair. In order for this to be an ordinance, there's got to be the mechanism for which we enforce it and what the consequences are of enforcing it. We can't have an ordinance that we selectively enforce. That's just not proper. So we got to figure that out first. It just needs to be thought out a little bit better. And I appreciate the work that the Environmental Commission has done. I mean, this is not an easy thing to tackle. So I would like to see it tabled. I would like to see the ordinance portion of this tabled for several months so that the Environmental Commission can think it through a little bit better, and then the educational portion be produced. Alderman Wilhelm.
make it simple, and we don't have to act on the ordinance, so therefore we don't have to table the ordinance. But I was going to suggest, and I think Alderman Mayer should be the one to make this motion, my suggestion is that he goes with the second to the last motion, where it reads, a motion to direct the Environmental Commission to develop the standards and guidelines in accordance with the City of Franklin staff for buckthorn removal plans subject to their review. And I think it would, and return to the Common Council with a date. And with the understanding that this program at this point of developing these standards would not be complaint-based at this time. Would that satisfy what you're working on, Alderman Mayer?
Alderman.
First off, the Environmental Commission has been doing the educational piece for quite some time. If you've read the newsletter website, we've continually put things on the website. So we have been doing the educational piece. This was brought to this point because this was our understanding that this is where the city attorney, how the city attorney wanted it brought here, so that we could give direction to him to follow this line to work on the ordinance. That's what we were led to believe why we're here. I think tabling it, you can table it if you want. You can send it back to the Environmental Commission. Environmental Commission has done, I believe, all they can do on this.
All right, I'm going to make the motion.
To them. I don't think it's going to come
Mr.
back
Mayor.
To
you.
I had to ask him a question. He gave kind of a long answer. I thought it would just be a quick one, but I'm ready to make the motion to direct the Environmental Commission to develop the standards and guidelines, which is different than what he was talking about. So they develop the standards and guidelines and bring them back to the council, working in coordination with staff, with the understanding that it is not a complaint-based program of standard and guidelines.
Seconded by Alderman Nelson. Alderman Barber.
Does the designation a noxious weed empower the forester to do anything on city property by just naming it a noxious weed? At this point, can you move forward?
I'd have to refer to Jesse because I think it's strictly the weed commissioner, not even my title. So that's kind of why I had the question as well, is like, what would my role be in this?
Well, you raised the question in an interesting manner. There's two questions there, in my view. The first question was, does it authorize anybody to do anything? And the answer to that is yes. The second answer is, on city property, that's a can of worms.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I just don't want to deal with it at the moment. That's a nightmare. And then it goes to, what about parks? What about Milwaukee County Parks and the state DOT? So, and the school district. It needs to be thought of some more.
That's why we need the standards and guidelines from the committee before we can act.
And I would ask that you include in that, and your second, Alderman Nelson, that they work with the clerk's office who handles complaints.
It does include with city staff, so anybody they want to bring in.
As long as we have that understanding.
Yes.
All right, anything else on the motion? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. It's a tough issue. Okay, G5, approval of the job description for the inspection permit.
Yes.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Approval for a job description for the inspections permit coordinator position. This is G5 on page 121.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Barber, seconded by D'Andrea. Questions on the motion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G6, page 129, is the approval of the certification for pay for the permit technician and permit coordinator positions.
So moved.
Mayor, just a question.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, Barber and D'Andrea, Alderman Wilhelm.
I just had a question about financial impact. Usually when we get something, we have some kind of financial impact, but do we know what this might cost?
Madam Director of Administration.
So the cost impact would be very small. In fact, neither of these employees has this certification at this point, but it would be $25 a month, which is essentially $300 a year, if indeed they were to get those. So it's more of an incentive for the future to help strengthen the department to be able to respond.
So you're not expecting it's going to be several thousand a year? It's just going to...
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
$300 max per license.
That's all I need. Thank you.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G7, 131. authorization for the Department of Public Works to purchase a matrix trailer-mounted sign board.
So moved.
Second.
This is in capital budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Also in the budget, page 133, G8, installation of electric and aeration for Ernie Lake. Alderman Mayor.
Move to approve and move forward with the project.
Second.
All right, now what do I do?
I
yield.
Hanneman, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G9, page 135, authorize release of letter of credit for the Park Glen at Park Circle. Alderman Nelson.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G10, page 137, request to bid the 2021 local road program.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for not dipping into it as alderman. It keeps you clean and department heads clean. G11 on page 139, approval of tentative agreement between the City of Franklin and the Franklin Professional Firefighters Local 2760.
Move to approve.
Second.
And the Director of Administration thanks you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mayor,
I'd just like to thank the Peggy and the fire chief and the union president, Brad Pulaski, there for all of their cooperativeness amongst each other.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, chief. Dave. H1, licenses, Alderman Nelson.
All approved.
Second.
Don't get to say that often.
Wow. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We move on to I-1 to finish off the public agenda. Vouchers and payrolls. Is there a motion approving the following city vouchers at any date of March 11th, 2021, in the amount of $1,220,863.67, and payroll dated March 12th in the amount of $392,772.24 in payments to various payroll deductions, in the amount of $220,096.77 plus city matching payments, and payroll estimated for March 26th at $395,000 in the payments of various payroll deductions, estimated $431,000 plus city matching payments, and property tax disbursements with an ending date of March 11, 2021, in the amount of $5,861,085. Oops, sorry. That was way wrong.
Yeah.
That was way wrong. $5,861.85. See, you get in the roll with the millions here. You know, a million here, a million there. Okay. And approval of the library vouchers not to exceed $25,000.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Six ayes. No noes, no absent, no abstentions. With that, we're going to go into closed session. For those of you watching on YouTube, unless there's action taken on this item, we will not return the stream. So, with that, is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Stat 19.85 sub 1 sub G to confer with legal counsel for the common counsel's event, who is rendering advice concerning a strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to the subject litigation, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
We are in closed session. It is 8:23. We are back in open session. No action will be taken on the item previously discussed in closed session.
8:24.
And the city attorney corrects me and says 8:24, and I'm not worried about it. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Dandrea and Hanneman. He's been seconding everything. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.